This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
This morning, we're going to look into the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It is a time where Jesus was at the home of Martha and Mary. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you. Don't forget, we've got a potluck after the service this morning. All right, well, Christmas is almost over. Some people say, thank heavens. It may be the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also a very stressful time for most people, especially the ladies that have to do all the cooking and the preparations, and everything has to be just perfect, so that puts a lot more pressure on them. And we're looking forward to a new year, amen? Amen. The older I get, probably you as well, I'm more aware of the fact that without Jesus Christ as our Savior, life would be meaningless. Before we came to Christ, many of us spent an aimless pursuit of happiness through the gratification of the flesh, never being completely satisfied. You never will unless you receive Jesus as your Savior. Many years wasted on ourselves and not for the glory of God. But where there's life, there's hope, there's always a chance to start over. Amen. It's not just sin that can eat up our time during the year. Even good things can make demands upon our time. And those things, albeit good, will not necessarily benefit us spiritually. And that's really what counts for eternity. We read here this morning one example when Jesus went to the home of his good friend Lazarus. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. I assume that the disciples were with him as well, so they got a full house. Someone has to feed these guys, these hungry men. And Jesus sat down to teach. Mary was sitting at his feet, just soaking up every word that he said. Meanwhile, poor old Martha was out in the kitchen, frantically preparing the food for all these hungry men and for Lazarus as well, preparing food that they needed. And she was just overwhelmed. And we know what happened next. We just read that. Martha gets all upset. Who wouldn't be? If you were put yourself in her sandals. Mary, her sister, is not helping out like she's supposed to. Can the ladies relate to some of this? You know? And she gets all upset. Sisters are sitting there listening to Jesus when she should be helping her out in the kitchen, helping out with the chores. And she complains to Jesus and telling him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha, obviously, maybe she told Martha to come and help me, but she's just ignoring it. She wants to be with the Lord. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, You are worried and upset about many, many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, she's going to receive her reward for being faithful to me. And I guess you could paraphrase it, and he told her to take a chill pill. All right? Whether she did, I don't know. Someone had to do the cooking. Now, Martha, was she committing a sin by fixing a meal in the kitchen for all those hungry men? No. She was doing a good thing, a very good thing. It was needed. Of course it was a good thing. But here's the problem. She was so preoccupied with doing the good thing that she was missing out on the opportunity to spend time with God in her living room. And he wouldn't be with them for very long. His earthly ministry was only for 3 years when he had to go to the cross. That's the same mistake you and I can make. We can be busy doing good things every single day of the year. We can get so caught up with the demands upon us doing these good things that take up our time. We fail to focus on what's really important. The spiritual things that will benefit us for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for being here and the strength you enabled us to do that. Help us to listen. Help us to be blessed by your word. Meet with us, we pray this morning. Speak to us and help us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to love you more and to serve you better in this new year. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the major problems that we have in this society, it's not so much in the third world, is anxiety and stress. There's so many demands upon our time. Such a stressful, probably the only country in the world that I know of that I've ever been on where stress is a high factor. So many people dropping with heart attacks and strokes. It's called overload. People are overloaded with stress and anxiety. Overloaded, not just with carrot cake after Christmas dinner either, or Christmas pudding. You don't have Christmas pudding here, do you? Anyway, we're overloaded with the demands on our time, aren't we? We commit ourselves to go here and there, to do this and that, and to take part in some social activity, especially if you've got children. The demands get even more demanding as time goes by. And as a result, we find ourselves being overloaded with these commitments. We're also overloaded, and some of you can relate more than others. I can. We're overloaded with possessions. Now, not saying possessions are a bad thing. We need things, don't we? We need things. But our wardrobes are full. Our attics are full. Our garages are full. Our barns are full. Just when you get rid of all this stuff, a load more stuff comes in. And there it sits, overloaded with stuff. And people go into debt to pay for those things that they really must have, or they think they have, but they rarely use. And when they get more stuff, they're afraid someone's going to steal that stuff. We're overloaded with possessions, which increases the anxiety. We're also overloaded with work, and many of you are. Getting up very, very early in the morning. You have to deal with the traffic to get to the work that you don't really want to be there in the first place. Bad working conditions, because you have to be to pay the bills. All those financial demands upon you. And in order to get more possessions that we want or need or desire. demands. We're overloaded, stress, anxiety. That's the society which we live in today. So many demands upon our time. But you know, there is 8,766 hours in 1 year. 8,766 hours in 1 year. And we should make good use of our time. Amen? Got a new year coming up. This is a New Year's message for you. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live. And I like the King James Version. Not as fools, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We've got a new year coming up. 8,766 hours we've got to look forward to. So let's look at some practical things that we can do in the coming new year. Ask yourself, or I'll ask you, do you think God wants your minds so saturated with worries and anxieties that you don't have time to think about spiritual things? What do you think? No, people are nodding, shaking their head. Of course he doesn't. Satan wants us to be anxious. Satan wants to saturate our minds with worries and cares and not have us think about spiritual things, things that are the most important to us, that will last for eternity. Do you think God wants your calendar so crowded that you don't have time for the most important things that will count for eternity? Is that what God wants for us? Our calendar is so crowded that we don't have time for the most important things, the spiritual things that will count for eternity? No, of course he doesn't want it. Satan does. He wants to crowd our calendars, even doing good things. But we don't have time to put the most things in the right priority list. And God must come first. He should be at the top of our priority list. What do you think? What's God's will for you this coming new year? Have you asked him? Why don't you try asking him? Well, let me make a couple of suggestions that may help. Like I said, we need to establish priorities this coming new year. Priorities. I assume you believe that God should be part of your life, or you wouldn't be here. But with all the demands and the stresses on our time, where does Jesus fit in to your scale of priorities? Every week, every day. Ask yourself. Who or what is the most important priority in your life? Who or what is the most important priority in your life? And I hope your answer will be, my relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. It should be. If you've got another answer, then obviously God is not on the top of your priority list. That should be on the top. That should be first and foremost. Our relationship with God. Let's make a commitment. We hear about New Year's resolutions. I could never keep them. But let's make a commitment and say, because our relationship with God is going to be the most important thing in my life, this is going to affect all my decisions, my scheduling, my relationship with others, and my whole outlook on life. Therefore, when Sunday comes around, the Lord's Day, whether rain or shine, or football kickoffs, or any other distraction Nothing will interfere with my being in church on the Lord's Day. Nothing will interfere with that. That's on the top of my priority list. God has to come first in my life. I'll worship the Lord, and nothing, absolutely nothing, will prevent me from doing that. There's another thing that might help. Another priority, which is so important. Schedule some definite time each day to read your Bibles. I'm sure some of you do. I know some Christians that don't even pick it up until Sunday rolls around. Read your Bibles every day. Read the Word of God. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your family. And pray for other people. Amen. Pray for our church. Pray for your pastor. I need it. Pray for the church leaders. They need it. Pray for our missionaries. They need it. We need it. We all need it. How much prayer do we spend each day? Time with prayer, talking to the Lord. It'll make a difference in your life if you do. Also, another priority is your family, if you have one. Very important priority. Spend time with your family. And if you're married, spend some quality time with your wife. If you're not married, spend more time with your church family. Why not just start a singles club, or if you want to call it that. Have a singles night where you folks that are not married can get together. And if you are married, spend some time together. Spend some quality time together. Just once a week. What do they call it? Date night? I don't want to call it that. You know, you're not dating, you're married. The honeymoon's over. A time when the two of you can just get away. Get away from the kids, get someone. Someone will babysit them, even if you have to pay them, you know. Get away, just the two of you, go to a movie or a nice restaurant. Turn the phone off where you can just be together and talk. It'll make a difference in your life. Whatever it is, spend some quality time together. So, well, I see her every day. You know? I see him every day. Why should I go out? You know, just go out together. Way too many distractions. Also, spend quality time with the Lord. That's the most important thing. Spend quality time with it. Also, spend quality time with your children. It's all right being with your kids, but do we spend quality time, you know, focusing upon them? You know, they'll remember those things when they get older, that Dad used to take me onto the park and we'd play soccer, and he'd, you know, Mom would take me shopping, you know, and do this. They'll remember those things when they're older. That's quality time, focusing upon them, focusing upon your friends, your church family, and especially the Lord. Make time to have quality time in this coming new year. That should be a high priority on your list. Make time to spend quality time in the new year. Establish priorities. God has to be first. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has to come first, and all these things will fall into place. And then learn how to live for today. Don't live in the past like an archaeologist. Sorry. Don't live in the past or worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, the two greatest enemies of our time are regrets, what we did in the past, or anxiety about what may happen in the future. It may never happen. So why worry? Forget about the past. Spend quality time. Put the priorities in order each and every day. In our minds, a lot of us are either living in the past or in the future. We don't live for today. I got a birthday card from my sister, and it said this: what lies behind us and what lies before us don't much matter, because senility lies within us. I got that on my 65th birthday. Thanks very much, Pat. I appreciate that, sis. Senility lies within us. Don't worry about what's gone in the past. Don't worry about what may happen in the future. It may not. Live for each and every day. Someone said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Another year is almost come and gone. A new year is before us. And let's determine to make good use of our time and prioritize what's really important. Life on earth is very brief. Let's make the most of it. Let's put God first. That's the most important thing. Let's put our relationship with God first. And then the quality of your life and my life will be greatly improved in every way. Life will be worth living. So, during the next new year, 2016, may we have contentment to keep us at peace, some trials to strengthen our faith, enough sorrow to keep us compassionate, hope to keep us encouraged, some failure to keep us humble, some success to keep us grateful, enough friends to give us comfort, enough wealth to meet our needs, and enough faith to keep us going, and enough determination this coming new year to be even better than all the others that have gone before. That's history. Let's look forward to a new year with anticipation and optimism. May the Lord help us to use the time that we have left to get to know God more better, to serve Him better, to love Jesus with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our might. And also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know," and he's talking to you, "for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Without the Lord, life is not worth living. May the Lord help us to make Jesus our number one priority and to use those 8,766 hours in this coming new year, not only for our benefit and our eternal reward, but also for the benefit of God's church and our neighbors and for God's glory. Amen. Happy New Year. And may God bless each and every one of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for each one of us being here today. And we're in the best possible place. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we would be lost. We would be fumbling through life aimlessly. But now, when we've received you as Savior. You've given us hope. You've given us a reason to live. You've given us a purpose. You've given us peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, because we've received the Prince of Peace. I pray for somebody here this morning who's never received you as their Savior. May they forget about what's happened in the past and focus about the now. Today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed any time tomorrow. You could take us out of this world in a heartbeat. But help us to put our relationship with God as the number one priority in our life from this moment on. May we realize that you were the one that died on that cross. You suffered with those nails in your hands and in your feet. You bled that sinless blood that washes away our sins, because we're sinners. And you came to die in our place so we wouldn't have to be punished for the bad things that we've done, we've thought about, to give us a home in heaven. You died, you were buried, and then you rose again from the dead. And you can say, Lord, I believe that you did that for me personally. And I ask you to come into my life and to save my soul. And if you pray that prayer, then he will. And for the rest of us, help us to prioritize and remember what comes first and those things that are most important, and not worry about the future. And help us to forget about the past. That's gone. But may we learn from our mistakes and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, to love you more, to serve you better, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.